Lance, I have a question for you.
Give it
And you
to
have
me.
to answer within 3 seconds your first instinct. Ready?
Okay.
Am I a nice person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. I mean, you've never been mean to said my face or to me,
To my
you know,
face.
and
Yeah, but behind it is where it really
I
happens.
mean, who knows? You know, I mean, anybody can say anything, you know, but no, you've always been nice. Why? Did somebody make you feel otherwise?
No. No one made me feel otherwise. Someone
Do I
made
have
me
to go to Texas and beat somebody up? Is
no.
what you're telling
No,
me?
someone made me reflect on myself. And they were like, "Oh yeah, you're cute and you give off like really kind vibes." And I was like, "Thanks, but sometimes I'm not nice." And they were like, "Do you consider yourself to be nice?" And I was like, "Nice isn't the word I would use.
So
I can
what you're
be
saying is you took longer to
peaceful."
answer your own question when you were
Well,
asked it.
yeah, I mean, I what I said, and then they ended up just stopped talking to me. So I was like, "That's fine." I said, "I'm peaceful. I can be peaceful."
Yeah, I mean everybody. I mean, I think that's a normal quality most people should have, I would think. You know, I mean, I always tell people I'm nice until I'm not.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking about it and I was like, what is nice? Do I put others before me? No. Will I give someone money if I have some that's like begging for money? Also, no. I'm just kidding. No.
I'm liking my rate. I'm like, that's not true. You're always nice and you always put us before you. So, I mean,
Well, yeah, y'all are my
you,
friends.
yeah. Oh, you're talking about like it's a random stranger? Like, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, oof, never mind. That's gonna get me canceled. I was gonna start talking about politics, and it's like, never mind.
Gonna say, AIDS not here.
Aid's not here. Well, with that said, this is Slashers, your number one home for all horror media. That's not what it is, but I'm saying it. It's me, Mikey, here with Lance. There's no official host because our dear recently departed aide, we miss
She's
her.
dead. She's on a boat.
No, she's departed from the port.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so she's not here, so we can do whatever the fuck we want.
I told her, I was like, oh, mom's gone.
Yeah, the cat's away, the mice will play. And the first thing I bring up, am I nice? It's like aide is here. Me and my personality crises. But yes, aid is gone. So that gives me a perfect time to ask you, are you reading any scary comic books right now?
I haven't. I think the last thing I got was that's in that genre of style of book writing stuff is Ice Cream Man, which is one of the ones that's kind of like a Twilight or not Twilight. Oh yeah, no, Twilight Zone, like a Twilight Zone kind of
Like a monster of the
book.
week.
It comes out like every month or so, and basically it's a collection of different writers and artists doing kind of like horror shorts. So they're all
Okay.
like kind of creepy in their own way with different artists doing it. And it's really awesome. It's a really great book if anybody's out there that really wants to get something that's kind of like if you're not sure you're into the genre and you want to like just kind of like a sampler, Ice Cream Man is a great way to do it. And you get so many different voices and art at the same time in one book. So it's like, you know, kind of gets you into it's like a little stepping stone into the world of creep and horror.
Yeah. And you know, we always talk about how we're your favorite podcast about your favorite horror media, but really want to talk about movies. So I was like, we need to start extending to other media. And I know one media we have in common is comic books. You definitely way more than me. And it's not so much because I think you're more of a fan, but you traverse more into things that I will not. Like you're a superhero, you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm like, give me the independent gore, nasty, slutty stuff. And then you gifted me for, I believe, Christmas or my birthday, I don't remember, two
I don't
comics.
enjoy Chris.
One of them I haven't read yet, but the other one I'm in the process of finishing. What was it called? Something Falls? About the Black Barn?
Yeah,
Well, at least I don't feel bad for not remembering it, because he doesn't remember either.
Gideon Falls?
Gideon Falls, yes. Oh, there you go. That is it. I love this story.
It's really good, right?
Yeah, I'm not done with it, but, and we won't spoil anything for anybody out there that wants to read it, but it's just really good. The main guy who kind of has the dreams,
yeah,
I don't know why, he just really tickles my cooter in all the right spots. I love the relationship between him and his therapist, and I hope they bone. We'll see. Does the series extend past this one book, or is that it?
Did I give you the actual number one graphic novel, the thicker book, or did I give you, because there's several different ways you can get them. Usually sometimes you can get them in obviously the singles, which would be, you know, yeah, your
the comics,
the comic book wise. Then they have your soft books, which is kind of like, they give you like, I think about like technically four or five of the singles in one book. So mm-hmm. like a graphic novel. And then they have hardcover stuff. Like another book that I was trying to get you, that I don't know if I got you. Did I get you the nail biter?
No, you gave me the bunny one.
Oh yeah, yeah. See, this one right here is one of my favorites.
Yes.
And this is actually the murder series one. And that was the one I was telling you about that actually has a whole town that throughout history, serial killers have come from this town. Oh. And there's a detective at one point later on, like in the current day, I guess, for the book, where this guy's trying to figure it out. And there's this one guy who is the recent serial killer from this town. And he gets let go from prison. You'll find out why and all this other stuff. But he's there kind of like, how did this guy get out? How is this, you know, even legal? What's this guy doing? Is he just waiting to, you know, murder more people and stuff like that? But this is another great book. I really wanted to get you that. I'll probably end up giving it to you later on. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to probably find it, because like, it was one of the books I really wanted to get for you.
Yeah.
And the one book that I wanted to get for you, it was like, it wouldn't have gotten here until like God knows when. So that, or I'm just going to, either that or when you come to visit for Spooky Empire, I'm just going to take you to all the places. Because I know they're there. I just can go get it myself.
I'm very excited. If everyone doesn't know, Lance, Aid, myself, Doug, and Yahaira will all be going to Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. And we're planning to do some in-person stuff there. So get excited and follow us along. This will be in May. I'm saving as much money as I can, because Lance was like, make sure you have room in your suitcase, because we're going to all the comic book shops. And I was like, hell yeah, bro.
Vinyl shopping.
Yes, vinyl. I'm always so scared that they're going to break in the airplane and the suitcase, but all of mine made it.
I think as long as I have a couple of bigger cardboard boxes that you can like stick them in, mm-hmm. and then just put soft stuff around them, it should be fine.
But yeah, so have you read Witches?
I have not.
Oh my goodness. I don't know actually if there is a graphic novel. I've only had the comics, because I feel like I'm missing a couple of towards the end.
Mm.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe his story just felt like it didn't end for me.
Have you read Hack and Slash?
I have Hack Slash, not Hack and Slash. I have Hack Slash.
Hack and Slash.
But I haven't read it, and I was confused because the one I have is called Omnibus.
Mm.
I don't know what that means, but I have it, and I haven't read it yet, but it seems like this girl basically, who looks like Jenna from Terrifier, is going against all of the serial killers.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a gothier version of Tank Girl.
Okay.
Kind of. But I can see Jenna, honestly.
Well, I didn't put it together. I didn't put it together until someone on Twitter mentioned it. They're like, oh my God, if you don't get Jenna to play this, whatever, whatever, on, I guess they messaged somebody, and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, that's just you and Terrifier. Because they look the exact same.
I mean, the sad part is you get typecast sometimes when you're just a badass. And then, you know what I mean? Like you get put in these like positions where it's like, you know, it's like anybody who is really good at playing the evil villain. And then, you know, they play a couple of evil villains and that's all they're known for. And then they can't even play any other roles. So hopefully for her, I mean, obviously she's a better actress than that. So she won't get pigeoned.
I don't think she'll get pigeonholed, because she's done a lot. I went to one of her premieres where she plays a completely different type of character than Tara. But indie horror filmmakers do love to get her. And I'm guessing they're the ones that kind of put her in in that category.
Yeah, yeah.
But even in Renfield, she's like a real, what is it, like a low confidence, like,
type of like, go fuck the world.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. You know?
And her name is Carol. I'm like, that's... Yeah. You're sorry, like, you don't look like a Carol.
She was like court ordered to be there, really. She wouldn't even been there anyways, you know?
I know, but I think the only thing that I would want to read, I think it's DC is Swamp Thing, because those look pretty cool.
And it's really good. I think they got a couple lines coming out from that. And that kind of borderlines on superhero slash kind of horror, honestly.
Yeah, cool. Well, I bought one called The Closet. It's a new one that's coming out. Oh, and I need to also talk about... So The Closet coming out, haven't read it yet, still in the bag, but looks like it's horror. We'll see. It's the first issue. But nice. The one that's really good, and I'm hoping that they come out with a graphic novel soon because I want to read more, and it's been a couple of months, so there's probably issues out there that I can't find, is called The Horror. I can't pronounce it. The Horror. Oh my God. Hang on.
The Horror?
Horror. I can't say it. H-A-R-R-O-W-E-R. Harrower. Harrower?
The Herald?
No, Harrower. Harrower, yeah.
Harrower.
Yeah. He's a killer in like, it's like an urban legend of this small town. These teens like have a party and he apparently comes out and like kills the bad kids or whatever. And
classic.
Yeah, but like,
can't be fucking and doing drugs, folks. We only don't kill virgins.
Exactly. But he actually looks really creepy, and the first issue was like, or first two, because I have two of them, was extremely violent and gory, and I really liked it. And I need to, I think there is four of them out right now. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I need to get 3 and 4 because I have the individual of 1 and 2, but those are really cool. It's a really cool slasher slash a little bit of supernatural. From, I believe it's from Boom Studios. So if you guys are
comics, Boom's awesome.
Yeah, if you guys are into comics, look out for that one. I highly recommend Witches, W-Y-T-C-H-E-S. It's not what you think. They're not witches. And I read like the story behind why this writer wrote this story, and it kind of made me like really invest. And he was basically saying, like, when he was a kid, I forgot, some state up north, he was walking around and he just saw this thing next to a tree that was like so tall staring at him, and he was like, the fuck is that? And then like it disappeared. And so the witches in this comic are not like the classic hocus pocus witches. They're these entities that live in the forest that are these tall weird things, and that one's my other favorite. So those are my two recommendations.
I like that. Yeah. I'll definitely stick with a nail biter. Gideon Falls again, obviously. I would let you know about it because I mean I wanted you to read that. It's a really good storyline. I actually got my brother into it, and he rarely ever gets books.
Yeah, speaking of connections and discussions, today we are discussing the movie I'm gonna say 2020s.
It is 2020.
Plagiarize. And the reason why I mixed up on the year is because Amazon says it's this year. Like where you can rent it right now says it was released this year, but it was released in film festivals ever since 2020. So the film is called Plagiarism. If you're trying to look it up, it's spelled Plagiurism. So not the typical plagiarism. It's this weird version.
Which kind of goes along with the movie, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I don't know if it has to deal with the Czech Republic being the origin of country for this movie. It is in English. It's by someone named Jem Degger or Deger. Jem Degger is also the main star of the film. I don't know if you knew that. And it also stars Austin Chun as our leading man, Andrew, and Issy Stewart as our leading lady-ish, Drew, which is weird because I'm like, Andrew and Drew, that's very confusing.
Yeah.
So I just have a question, Lance. What the fuck?
Because this was my pick.
Yes. It's bad enough.
If you see this movie, Mikey did not pick this.
I did not pick this. And I was like, wow, Lance, way to call me out. But Where did you hear about this movie? Because this movie's not streaming anywhere. If you all want to watch it, you have to rent it. I rent it on Amazon, but you can rent it on YouTube, Amazon, and I think Vudu.
Because we did pick a different movie initially, which I'm still down to do. But you know, like when you go on YouTube and they have like, oh, you could watch this, or you know, or these are other movies that are relatable in some way or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I guess it was the same. I don't know if it was a studio or a production studio. Was the same as the one we were going to do today initially. And I saw it and I was like, oh, what is that? And it looked cool because there's a scene in the movie in the very beginning where he looks like he's floating. And he's like in this dreamscape kind of vibe, and he's above this bed, like it's basically in the opening scene. And when it like kind of like his either his dream bursts or his whatever happens, he falls and he's on the bed, you know, and he's like, oh, what's going on? Where am I? Like he had, you know, he was like totally dazed and confused kind of deal. But I saw that, I was like, oh shit, that looks kind of fucking cool. And I went to watch the trailer, and I was like, oh man, I really like this. And I thought there was gonna be a little bit more serial killer-ish type horror stuff to it, just because the way he was like in one of the in the scenes in one of the trailers, he's like, I'm a serial killer, and you know, this is a part of me, and this is what I do. And my brain was thinking, okay, cool, this is gonna be cool because it's weird, and then it's got serial killing stuff, or at least I thought to some degree.
I mean, it kind of did, but also, if you guys want to watch this that are listening, the spoiler-free review, a synopsis, which honestly, don't read any synopsis online because it will ruin it for you, like it did for me. Just know that there's a guy who wakes up without any memory, but apparently he's roommates with this really fucking hot guy. He's a little attracted to him, and the hot guy is giving hints that he's dangerous. But you know me, danger's a green flag.
You and Aid, I swear to God, like if this man literally, if a human being literally says, whoa, I'm really toxic for your lifestyle, you two are like, sign me up.
Speaking of me and Aid, my first triggering was the beginning with Drew and what's his name? His name is Demi, or they call
D?
him D. And I was like, has Lance seen this before? And he's trying to tell me something. But from here on out, there will be spoilers. I think you should watch this movie. Trigger warning, if you are not a fan of sexual assault, it happens in a big way. So just know that. But, you know, if you're down for a super trippy movie, I think the movies that this movie reminded me of without spoiling anything is Daniel Isn't Real and there was something else I kept thinking about, but it's oh, by the way, guys, this month is April Drools and Fools,
Nice.
a month of, oh fuck, I had it. What was it? A month of psychedelic trips.
Nice.
There you go.
I like the idea of a month where it's just kind of like because it technically in the April Fool's month, so it kind of is nice to see like the misleading kind of horror, you know, where you don't know what's going to happen, and I don't think we've really ever done any stuff like
No,
that I've
especially when it
seen.
comes to like drugs. I mean, it sounds bad to be like drug movies, but like there's a lot of movies out there where it's like it's a horror movie, but also the horror is drugs are involved, like mentally altered state drugs. So you're like, I don't know what's real. So watch that.
Did you think he looked like a little like Chris Evans? Like he
Yes.
looks like Chris Evans' like younger brother or something like that. Like it was like
Yes.
the whole time we kept going, and he makes certain like mannerisms, like face things. Like, I don't know if he was trying to do that with like the short beard and like he was like, yeah, da, da, da. I'm like, is this? I'm like, and I went to go look the cast. I'm like, does Chris Evans has a brother that I don't know about?
He does, and he's gay, but he does not look like this.
Oh, really? So it kind of fits.
But no, this guy's name is Austin Chun. He's from Alabama. I looked him up also because he's just a beautiful man. But he does look very much like Chris Evans, younger and slimmer. He's still muscular, but Chris Evans is a beast of a man. This guy's more like a swimmer's body. But yeah, so there's one issue I've had with the movie.
I this whole movie, I've got, you know what? It feels like I'm you and you're Aid in this situation because usually you're the one that's doing this to Aid. So it's kind of ironic that she's not even here to enjoy this moment that I've done this.
I know. She's like, and you made me watch this movie. Yeah. Also, funny note is this is Demir, Jem Degar, the creator, writer, and director of the film. And I just couldn't take him seriously because he looks like McLovin with long hair.
His voice. Like, oh, I don't know if that was a personal choice and making the voice sound like that, but it was like, I was like,
I think he just sounds like that.
Oh, and really?
I have an annoying voice, everybody, but like some of the serious lines I couldn't get through because I was like, shut this kid up. Like, apparently it's from the Czech Republic, but he sounds like he has a French accent. So I don't know if maybe he's French but lives in the Czech Republic, or maybe they sound like that in the Czech Republic.
Because he was like trying to do like a whiny, like kind of like it was kid bad. Girl voice. I don't know what it was, but like I was definitely like, and by all means, please, we're not like shaming this poor person for like their voice if they actually sound like that. Chris, you're
right. Because I'm so nice.
Yeah. let's step back.
Yeah, let's revisit that conversation.
Yeah. But you know another thing too is I didn't realize I guess I didn't even think about it as it being, because it's technically put down as a queer film. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, I was like, you know, it sucks that things have to be labeled like that. Yeah, I know they're trying to find their audience, and that's kind of like a thing. But honestly, I just thought it was a good movie in general, in the sense that it was like it did all the creepy psychedelic kind of things you would want in a movie kind of like this, and what we were trying to find. So it hits all the marks in the horror factor of that for me. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was really strange how that couch drawer got bigger as the more bodies went into it.
Yeah. I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, but the thing about labeling it as a queer film is the sad part of it all is that because it's labeled as a queer film, there's already people that are going to be out.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. And it shouldn't be like that because you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there's a movie called Short Bus that's a queer film, but technically it's about different relationships, straight, bi, gay relationships. But because there's a couple of scenes where there's like gay sex, it's labeled as queer film. but I think it's a good thing because, like, the importance of, you know, having Black films also, it's like, oh, I'm queer. I want to see something that is from a queer lens. Let me watch this. And I think with this movie specifically, there is a lot of things that I can identify with being a queer person in terms of like coping mechanisms and stuff. It actually really bummed me out. So thank you, Lance, for making me watch it. But
I'm so sorry.
But that's okay.
I wear my Selena shirt to make you happy a little bit.
She's dead. Now I'm even more sad. I'm just kidding. But no, and so it's the guy's voice was just kind of funny. And also because he is foreign, he sometimes said things that didn't make sense, which also made me kind of giggle a little bit. But towards the end, I was like, okay, respect. Because I struggle with this, and a couple of my other filmmaker friends struggle with this too. When you write, direct, and star in your own film, I personally wouldn't want to play this role if this was my film, because I don't want people to think, oh, you just hired this hot guy to have like these sex scenes with, or you hired this hot guy to fulfill some fantasies that you've had in your story and whatever, whatever. And so like, even with Noelia, you know, we did that, and Noelia was supposed to be a lot more sexual than it is. And a lot of it was because I was like, maybe I don't need to do that in my own movie, because I don't want people to be like, wow, you just wanted to do that this whole time. It's like, no.
You're like living your fantasies in a movie. Exactly. It a movie.
Yeah. I was kind of struggling with that in my head, but towards the end, it kind of went away, and I was like, oh, okay, now. Because this actor is the main, not the creator, but the Andrew, he does really well, and he's really into it. And like when he switches from, like, you know, being, I don't want to say straight, because we don't even really know what his preference is.
Right, I mean, he could be bi, I mean, or even like,
yeah,
he seemed very fluid in the sense of, like, because even he says at one point in the movie, he's like it's not about that, it's just where I'm at, and if it's what it is, then it's what it is.
Well, it's because he's never killed anybody.
Yeah, and he wanted to, like, that's his whole thing, he's one of, like, I thought it was funny when she's like She's like, "What'd you say? I'm finding a, you know, something to kill you with." And she's like, "What? I'm trying to find something to murder you with."
Yeah. Like... Oh, and then also the way it opened up, I was kind of like, the movie is filmed really excellent. Like, there's a lot of visually stunning images. The use of lights and stuff and colors is really well done. It kind of reminds me of the movies that they used to do, like, in the 90s, like those, like, psychedelic movies.
Yeah.
But one of the main issues it has in the beginning, he wakes up with no memory, and he's like, and he just decides to stay in the house with, I mean, the guy is really hot, so maybe I would too. It's like, I lost my memory, but I didn't lose my sense of taste.
Yeah, it's like my sexuality's still there.
Yeah. And so the whole time I was like, you should probably go to the cops if you don't know what's going on, especially if this bitch just tried to kill you. Like, yeah. So that was one thing that I was like, ah, it's a little unbelievable. But if you kind of just like, you have to essentially suspend your, suspend your disbelief. I don't know. Basically give the movie grace to be wacky because
yeah.
You understand why at the end.
Well, I mean, and it's for me too, again, it's, you know what I mean? I love when somebody does a one room film because it's so much harder. And that means the actors have to be so much more like on point, and the dialogue has to be pretty good. You know what I mean? Like when it's in a one room, because I mean, technically for the movie, it's literally what that room, basically the room and the rooms in the house, yeah. Technically, and the video room later on, which you'll see, you know, what happens later on. I'm sure we'll discuss, obviously, because it's one of the most traumatic parts of it, / maybe not so traumatic for some people.
Wow, Lance. Way to air out my dirty laundry.
I didn't say what it was.
But it does. It all takes place in a small apartment. So, but the apartment
except
is
the
so...
weird drive-through part, right? That was kind of weird. The random where they go pick up drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was just like... That was also really cool because the old lady at the drive-through counter was,
dude,
like,
she was
real
creepy.
Yeah, like, oh, I like that a lot.
I want her to be in something else. It kind of reminded me of, and I know this seems cheesy to say Beetlejuice, but it reminded me of the old lady, the main lady, the one that's like, you know, the realtor / ghost main lady.
Yeah, and it's because of the lighting, because it gives like a very like a blue tint, but like the highlights her features are highlighted with lights and stuff, and the background's black. So it's whoever did the lighting for this movie, or like the art direction, did really well.
Yeah. Like, it was really cool. The colors are like really, like, even their outfits, you know, when they were trying to dress a certain way, or sometimes he would dress like he was almost in a club, and sometimes he would dress like he's a regular day, you know, suit kind of person.
I know
where he left to go to, you know, like he never questioned when he left. He's like, I'll just be here at the house.
I thought it was funny because like sometimes he would dress like a Liberace gay, and like there's even one scene where he dresses like a Mexican gangster with like the oversized polo. And I was like, what? But hey, who knows, maybe that's the style in Czech Republic. For the majority of this movie, it's basically D has a little bit of a crush on this guy, and this guy has a girlfriend ? And the girlfriend, but like the guy like really likes hanging out with D, and so he just has sex with the girlfriend, which, by the way, we open up with a sex scene, and I was like, the guy's really hot, but if that's how he has sex, I'm not into it. He's just standing there while she's on like some
like rope harness thing, right? Like, I thought it was a bondage thing for a second, so I was kind of like, oh, okay.
No, it's those weird things that, like, those long curtains that people hang on and do, like, flips, like, aerial acrobatics or whatever. She's doing all the work, and he's literally just standing there. And I'm like, okay, I am too lazy for this. So there goes my fantasy. So they do drugs. And a drug that makes you puke green like your Slimer.
I wonder if that was, like, a choice. Like, just so it looked obvious. Because it was, like, totally, like, day glow, you know what I mean? Like, it was like glow in the dark paint, basically.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of to be visually appealing, and so because the
very 90s.
Yeah, and D does like throws up also, and like you see him and it's like all stuck to his neck. I'm like, how are y'all throwing up? Like,
yeah, right. It's like,
I'm not a
goy. You tossing it back on you.
I know, and I'm not a cute throw upper. Like, there's some people that are just like. Like, I'm really loud and scary when I throw up, but at least it doesn't come back on me. And right. So I, when he came up from the toilet, I was like, why is it all over your neck? Oh, and this is also something that I didn't get. So obviously we need to have sexual tension. So while the girlfriend's dying in the bedroom, as she should have been, the two guys, the guy who's throwing up is D, and Andrew's like, you need to take a shower. And he's like, okay. And so he's like about to get in the shower. He's like, no, like, yeah. He doesn't say this, but his eyes are like, got to take your clothes off. And he's like, oh. So he takes his clothes off and he's still wearing his underwear. And then Andrew still doesn't let him get in the bathtub or the shower. And he looks at him like, does this weird head nod thing, like those two. So he gets naked. He's in the shower. And Andrew's like, first of all, it's throw up. So that's gross. But he's like soaping up his hands and like lathering up D in the shower to wash away his throw up. And D just like looks at him. And he's like, I can't. I'm like, you can't what? Like, he's not doing anything. I mean, he's washing throw up off you, but like, is he trying? Like, if that was happening to me, and this is also something else, straight guys out there, don't be playing with your gay friends like this, because this happens. This happens. It's like, if that was me, I'd be like, this is one of those weird, unexplainable straight guy things that I'm thinking way too much into. And then I'd be like, I can't. And he'd be like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, well, don't you want to have sex with me? It's like, no, I'm helping you get your throw up off your face. And so I was like, he hasn't even like tried to like hit on you yet. And you're just like, I can't. So I was like, calm down, girl. You're not that hot. But yeah, so also PSA, straight guys, don't do this to your gay friends. And
then, let you just sit there in your throw up. Is that what you're telling me? So
don't make us get naked in front of you while you're shirtless. Yeah. And wash it off. And then like talk about not leaving the room when you're about to fuck your girlfriend, and then have really deep conversations, and then take us to the club and make out with two girls in front of us. True story, happens to everybody in the gay community.
That sounds so sad. It's like, you're like, oh.
It's just like, I don't, honestly, this, that part made me think of Jennifer's body. You know how like Jennifer was doing all this like sexuality stuff to have like a power play over Needy? That happens when gay guys make friends with straight guys. It's happened many times to me.
Aww.
It's fine. You know why it's fine?
In my head, I'm like, it's going like, my hair going, all right, check, check, and check.
Oh, I know.
Nice. Did you, because I mean, technically, the girl tries to kill the one dude in the beginning, D, at one point. And this is probably the first time you get to see a really cool scene where he's actually using dental floss, which I thought was kind of funny, to sew up her wound, which I don't know if that's a real thing you should be using or not.
No, that is another red flag for me. And I was like,
he's like, oh, this is going to be minty.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think she said something like, it stings. Well, no shit, it stings. You have peppermint in your face, like in your head.
Yeah.
But that actually brings up my next point. So back to being gay. Stop trying to take over the episode with your heterosexuality. Everyone always thinks like a gay person's biggest arch nemesis is straight guys. But let me tell you something. What's worse than straight guys is your straight friend's girlfriend that thinks you want him. I cannot tell you how many of those bitches. When month's over, I can say it. But like, is that it? Yes. When this episode comes out, it'll be over.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait a minute.
That is 100% true. I mean, they're not going to try to kill you, but it's like, that is worse than a homophobic straight guy. It's like,
really? You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
your mortal enemy is straight men's girlfriends, basically.
Well, .. That thinks you want their man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very true. It didn't seem one way when I said that.
It was, and it's like, you know, there's some, like, I have friends that they do it as a joke, and I think it's funny. It's fine when they're like, oh, go hang out with your boyfriend. It's like, yeah, it's me. Ha ha ha. But there's some, I've had friends whose, like, girlfriends would not let them hang out with me. Like, what am I supposed to, like, how do I prove that you want, am I supposed to eat your pussy? Like, well, I don't know what you want me to do to show that I don't want your boyfriend, but he's also my friend. And then what's worse is that you're, like, friends with them before they even meet this girl. And then she's, like, treating you like you're, like, the other woman. And you're like,
I was here before you, motherfucker.
Yeah, it reminds me of that meme that's like, I don't care if you're gay, just don't hit on me. And it's like the ugliest guy in the world saying that.
You're like, don't worry, you're safe.
Yeah. One time I told somebody, don't worry, our community doesn't want you in it. and they got really mad.
Yeah, I always find that funny when somebody gets offended, even for something they don't want, but they're like, well, yeah. I mean, I'm a prime catch. I'm not gay, but I'm a prime catch. You would totally love sucking my cock. It's like, would I?
That's the best way to get to them, is you just kind of look at them and be like, you don't have anything to worry about. And like, do like a little laugh under your breath and like turn around. Then they get really self-conscious and they kill you. But
yeah,
back to our scheduled programming. So yeah, Andrew's really hot.
I mean, and I think the thing about this movie too is the fact that he's kind of, Dee's in this situation where he's trying to technically recall why he can't remember. You do see glitches in the characters sometimes.
Andrew's glitching.
Yeah, so like he's glitching. You see a lot of that. So like you're obviously aware something's weird. I mean, just from the get-go of this movie.
Yeah.
I think they drag out like not him like really specifying. Like there's moments where he's like that, but then he also, you see him kind of being comfortable with the idea like, well, I'm here with this guy who's hot and he's my roommate and, you know, whatever. And, you know, seems a little toxic, but I'm here for it. You know, that kind of vibe. And he kind of forgets about why he's there. Like how did I get here? Like I have all this memory loss and yet weirdly, you know, yeah. And then the fact that I think one of the call signs is he says you're allergic to peanut butter or nuts. And he takes the whole jar. And then I thought it was kind of funny. He's like, I didn't die. And now I have like whatever amount of calories in me.
Something I would have said.
Yeah. That was awesome.
They didn't really explain why he said he was allergic to peanut butter or if he really is allergic to peanut butter. I don't understand.
Right. And I think, because I think at some point maybe that it was supposed to be a sign that something's up, because maybe
like
he
it's
is.
Not real.
Yeah, like he's in a fake world. I don't know if they played it off well, because you know what I mean. I think that, and then the weird creepy dude, because they do kind of a moment where I thought it was really cool, but it slightly is very confusing, where they do the weird kind of commercial slash
the trailer
trailer for the movie that, spoiler, you find out that he's within the movie, and then it's like the German guy, and then I guess he's German. Would you say he was German? I don't even know, to be honest with you. He's very Austrian like vibe. Well,
Czech is very close to Austria, so he could be Austrian.
Okay,
but this is, and again, last call, this is a spoiler. If you don't want to hear it, stop the episode now, because we really haven't given away that much, but this is going to give away everything. So when the movie started, when I watch movies, sometimes I already have the IMDb page up just so like if I'm looking through trivia or if I'm looking at the actors, I can kind of like know what to keep an eye for, like, oh, that's what they meant, and like talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
So the synopsis is, when a teenager finds himself caught in a glitchy, glitzy reality of his on-screen male idol, he does all he can to be possessed by the man and ignore the violent clues of how he got there. So like, okay, so this guy is an actor that the guy likes. And you find out early on that he's going to the video store. He keeps renting videos of this actor that he's obsessed with. And so when I was watching it, I was like, okay, so this is a simulation he's made up with his favorite actor. And then when they showed the trailer, like maybe 30 minutes in the movie, I was like, okay, that's the actor. That's what's going on. And so that's why I say the summary ruined it for me, because I mean, it doesn't explain why he's there, but it explains what's going on. So I kind of wish I didn't read that.
Yeah, no, and like I thought the commercial part was kind of cool, because it reminded me of old school RoboCop, where they'd have the random commercials in there. But this one just seemed like it was like, I almost lost it, because I'm like, oh wait, are we within a world now or something? Like I was kind of like throwing off, and then they just stopped it, and then like, oh, back to regular set program, and I was kind of like, all right, that was really kind of confusing to some degree.
Because it has even the girl that tries to kill him in the beginning is in it,
and then the brother at that point, which you don't see, and then later on you see him and you're like kind of like okay, I'm slightly understanding a little bit, but like at the same time I was like, what was the purpose of just randomly throwing that commercial in there
to introduce the brother?
I guess so.
The girl dies and they hide her in the sofa, and so
slash drawer
a trundle sofa, if you will. And the commercial that they showed for this movie, I think it's called Rebel something.
I didn't even really pay attention.
Yeah, because they even say something like, "You're a rebel." The commercial shows that the girl's brother comes to like hit or take her somewhere, and he has like an incestuous relationship with her. So there's already that weirdness going on. And so basically, D is like over the gaslighting, over the drama, and he's like, "I'm gonna move out." And Andrew's like, "Hey, bye." And so when he's about to move out, the guy who played the brother shows up, and D's kind of like, "I think I know this guy." And in the middle of the night, he finds out that, or he finds the brother basically molesting his sister's corpse. So he's
So
like,
again, we are in another movie with necromantic.
Well, there's another tie to Necromantic later that we'll get to. I haven't seen the second one yet. I don't know if I should or not, but
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you weren't on that episode.
yeah, I'm sorry, I was busy.
Little doing real life stuff, which is awesome, by the way. And
Thank you.
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. But so he basically saves Andrew the next day because the brother, he knows the brother's gonna try to kill Andrew, but he whacks him with the golf club, saves Andrew.
Did you like that
And
scene? I thought that was kind of cool.
are you talking about what happens afterwards? Because yes, I did.
Yeah, I know you like that scene, but I meant the way that the scene went, where the golf club, like the way they made it went stick like into his head, and they didn't show it, which kind of made it more gruesome to me in a weird way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we sometimes I like it when I see it because I'm always excited to see how you're gonna pull it off. But sometimes when you don't show it, it's also kind of as exciting.
Well, yeah, because you connect the dots yourself and you think of the most fucked up thing. Because you have movies the opposite, like When Evil Lurks, that shows everything, and they did it so good. And that's my thing, is if you're gonna show it, make sure you do it well.
Right, 100%.
And this movie probably didn't have a big budget to do that. But with the golf club, you know, they were all numbered and they kept saying on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no pain, 10 being the most, what do you feel? He grabs the 10 iron, I think it's called. But so after Lance's favorite part, after he kills him, Andrew's revved up. This is how you get straight, guys. Listen, everybody.
You
Just
murder somebody.
kill somebody. So Andrew
Please
just.
don't do that so we don't get it somehow it comes back to haunt us, actually.
Yes,
Just to put
this is a
that
joke, everybody.
out there. I can just see it now, so it's gonna be like a huh.
Yeah, and we all get summoned to court. You
Yeah,
told your audience.
it'll just be me and you. We're sitting there like this, but so yeah.
Lance made me watch this movie. That's what I'm gonna say.
It's all my fault again.
But Andrew is just like, okay, I'm a raw dog you on top of this dead man's blood. And the blood was like honey. It was very thick and viscous.
It reminded me of
Necromantic.
yeah, because it was like the second one had more of a that kind of like vibe. Obviously, I know you didn't see it, but like I'm sure you saw some of the trailers or whatever, but
Yeah.
like it had like that
The gooey.
Slimer goo kind of scenario. In my brain, I was like, when I was watching, I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. The same director of Necromantic. But yeah, so they have sex finally. And he's always asking, he's like, I lost my memory. I don't remember if I'm a virgin or not. Which, when they first had that conversation, I was like, girl, calm down. Like, this isn't how you try to get in his pants. And he's like, what did he say? He said something like,
Like, does he definitely know or something like that? Like, or
he basically insinuates the next time you have sex, you'll know. And he's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, because your body remembers the motion, your brain remembers the motions, even if you don't remember the memory. And it's like, okay. So that comes back up later. And
well, they're doing the breakfast thing, right? Where that's like where he finally kind of like chimes into like why I'm here. Which is kind of cool because I kind of actually like the conversation they were having because it was definitely like a new couple vibe. You know what I mean?
yeah.
After you fuck for the first time, like where he's cooking food and it was like, and I like when I hate to use the word normalcy because it just, but it is. It's just a normal fucking thing that happens, you know, in any fucking grouping of whatever you're, you know. Like whoever your partner is, but I thought it was really cool because I was like, that's probably the most realistic moment of this whole movie because everything else has been like fucking just off the
Yeah.
wall weird. The pig, by the way, we didn't even
Oh
mention the
yeah,
pig. The
Joshua.
random, yeah, the random pig. Like, I was like, but you know what? It makes sense later on at the end.
Oh, bacon.
Well, that, but just the fact that,
Oh, the pig. Got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you explain it.
Some
later
of us
on.
Aren't smart enough to understand that.
Like the little random pig, because like obviously the pig was a situation, but
Yeah, it
but like
was a situation.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't think I was prepared for that. I was like, oh gosh. But so like he asks him again, kind of like why he couldn't remember, and then you see the glitch in the Andrews character
Yeah.
where he starts repeating himself and he goes, what? What?
Yeah.
What?
This is the first
And
time
then
D notices the glitch because the audience has seen it, but D was never looking when it happened. So this is when
yeah.
D sees it and he's like, what the fuck was that?
And that's how much he's invested in being where he's at. Obviously, he's had a thing for this character, so like there's a deeper meaning to it, and there's like you kind of understand it more so after later on when you see what happens. We'll talk about it. But like but yeah, no,
Yeah.
it's definitely like you go, oh, okay. And then that's when I think D for the first time really, I don't want to say glitches, but kind of like focuses on the reason they're there.
He snaps to reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so real quick, we mentioned it before, but also one of the main points of the movie is he's like, "Hey, what changed? Like, why do you like me now?" And he's like, "Well, you've never killed anybody before." And so basically now that he's killed someone, he basically is insinuating that who he shares his life with has to have the same sins as him. And
Right.
so since he's killed someone now, they share the same sin, so he's able to share his life with him, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. Straight guys are weird. And then he's like, "I don't care what you do." And I was like, you should care a little bit if he's
Yeah.
killing people. We all have our limits.
Yeah. Obviously not D.
I
D's
mean,
like,
I don't. I'm not gonna
hey,
say
maybe
anything.
that maybe Andrew's packing. He was like, nope, I'm good with this.
Yeah, he's
It's
got
like
that Lincoln log, but. Yeah, so we snap back to reality and realize what's going on. And the whole world that we are in is a coping mechanism because the video store that D frequents to go buy movies or rent movies that this actor is in, is ran by two men who they're nice to him and they, let him watch the movie before they can even distribute it. So,
I think they're bootlegging it, honestly.
yeah,
Like
they're making copies.
they're like the people who make all those copies of the things you find at Comic-Con, like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I see we're talking about
The
I think I was talking
Necromantic
with Doug about
episode.
that. Yeah. So like, but yeah, like it would like there was definitely one of those moments. And I guess what is it? He gives him the master so he can actually watch
Yeah.
the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so he goes to return it and you find out what happens, which basically is these guys are like, "You want to see how we copy these movies?" And he's like, "Sure." So they play the movie that his fantasy world is in. And he's like, "Oh, I'll just sit here and watch it. I watched this movie 5 times in a row. I don't care." And so he notices that like the door's locked, they have a camera set up, and they're putting on like pig masks. And just like in Jennifer's body, he's like asking questions and they're just completely ignoring him. And he's like, "I think I gotta go." And so he gets raped and they film it. And so I guess they make snuff films in their little video store.
See, that's the only thing I was confused by a little bit, because he makes a perfect ideal to tell him not to crush his windpipe or like, because obviously you see the relation to the golf club, because
Yeah.
it's actually used to push down on him. Like they're about to take turns on him or whatever. Another one, he's like trying to get in there, and then he was like telling him he can't fit, and all this other stuff. And they're about to like just be brutal to him, like, like with no care in the world to
Yeah.
his life or whatever. And if you're not prepared for this, like it's if you're not into those things, it's brutal. It's
And
like,
good
I
for
mean, like,
you. If you're not into those
and
things, that's great. But no, so he didn't want him to push too hard at the golf club because he didn't want to pass out. He didn't want to pass out because part of snuff films is the torture and the screaming and the things like that. And they didn't want him to not do all that because that's what
the big
sickos want
bucks.
in a snuff film. Watching this part, I was like, okay, I feel kind of bad for like thinking that, this guy just wanted to have sex with hot guys in his movies. Cause it is a really like powerful scene.
Yeah.
And when they're done with him, they're like looking at the footage and he's on the table like pulling his pants up. He's looking at the movie that they played, which is, you know, one of his favorite actors. And essentially he like sees the actor of Andrew on screen, and he like crawls towards him, and in a metaphysical way,
like a savior in. Almost, right? Like,
you yeah. Felt? Yeah. Like he goes into the TV.
Because it was a safe space. I mean, I guess, you know, if you think about it, that was like, well, his like safe haven.
Well, it was his fantasy, the place where he felt safe, the place where he felt loved, the place with the person that he, I mean, you know, you don't love an actor, but, you know, your fantasy, how he's dealing with this trauma. Now, one thing I did wonder is when he says that he changed his tune because he's killed someone, I was wondering, like, if in real life, does that mean that he killed the guys?
See, I thought maybe that throughout the time frame, I thought maybe because they said they had kind of like a bond and whatever, I thought maybe it was kind of like a Tyler Durden type deal where it was like they were the same person, or he envisioned himself as being more like the Andrew character, you know what I mean? Like from whatever movie it was that he was watching, or this movie in particular of his character.
Yeah.
So like, cause the fact that it seemed like his character was supposed to be a murderer or kind of cruel or mean, I thought when he was going to touch the TV, I thought, or even when later on where at one point it seems like they're in some alternative universe that the Andrew character is watching it happen. Cause you see him start crying that somebody's actually did that to him. And I thought for a second he was going to come through and like embody his body in that point, and you know what I mean? Them. Type deal and kill them, like be vicious and cruel, like he is in the movie, which I thought would be amazing, because I thought that was cool, because I really hate the fact that these pieces of shit got away with this.
Yeah.
Most likely. You know what I mean? Like, because I was like, in my head, I was like, fuck this. Fuck these guys. Like, I don't like anybody. Like, I don't care what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I hate bullies and I don't like that kind of shit. So, like, I kind of wish that was what happened.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of left in this area where, it, like, his mind went to a safe space where he could deal with what just happened, or, and again, I don't know, you don't know if he actually dies, and you don't know if he gets up and murders these other people, or because you think of the club, because I was thinking, oh, he's going to get up with the club, you know what I mean? And then the emulation of what he does to the brother is what he did to those guys, because that's what I figured, like, that's what you're saying, you thought he might have done that.
Yeah, that's his moment of being a killer happening.
Yeah. So, like, I totally see that. Like, I mean, and I wish you would have gotten that, because it would have been a nice, like, little closure. But, I mean, also at the same time, that's not how life works. You know what I mean? There are pieces of shit like this who get away with stuff like that. And, you know, there's no repercussions, at least at that point in time, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Our final comparison of Necromantic is very disturbing, intense final scenes. And basically, he crawls into the TV, goes to his savior / Andrew. You know, we've seen Andrew sew up the girl's face, and I think he also sewed something else in regards to like stitching, like skin. Forgot what it is, but
I don't know. I didn't remember the head. That was about the only thing I know until this last scene, which was like FX wise was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that. Like, it looked,
yeah,
like, especially on the lip. But basically, if anybody's heard that song by the Spice Girls, When Two Become One,
nice.
They,
I love the reference.
Thank you.
That's great.
They cut open their stomachs in a very romantic way, and they get floss and a needle, and they sew their skin together to where their stomachs are connected. And then they do the same thing to their lips. And it's just kind of insinuated that I don't know what the message is. Is he saying that he's inside of him the whole time? Is he saying that they're gonna die together? Is he saying that he loves himself? Yeah, but, and then it ends.
Yeah, it's a, like, honestly, you know, it's like another movie that kind of, like, not that it really is a slow burn, because there's a lot of different random things that do happen, you know, in between here. But this is another one of those movies where the end really kind of pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, because,
like, it's a lot.
It's kind of a slow burn story-wise, but because of all the flashy colors and the trippiness of it, it goes by really quickly. And it's only 82 minutes, I think, so it's hardly
Yeah, like I think well, like 127 technically, if you're going by the hour slash minute.
Yeah, so it's a really quick watch. I'm kind of annoyed that this isn't streaming anywhere because I think it is really good and I think people would really like it.
Well, it's Amazon, right? Because I saw it was rent or buy on Amazon.
Yeah, it's rent only on Amazon or Vudu or YouTube, but like it's a really good movie and I think if more people watched it, it would generate some buzz. So the awards that it's won is it won Best Feature at the 19th Louis Sans Underground Film Festival in
Nice.
2020, and then it won Best Narrative Feature at the 18th Calgary Underground Film Festival in 2021. So it has some merit.
Yeah.
I was a little like when you were like, would you hate me if I changed the movie? I was like, I started watching the first one that we'll do next week, probably. And I was like, oh man, but there's so much dick in this one.
I was like, and somehow I still pull it off for you.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, here's something gayer. So thank you, Lance, for feeding me with gayness, trauma, and pretty colors.
So you're saying I got you with all the plethoras. Nice.
Especially the trauma.
Yeah. Well, I figured if Abe was gone, like I would have to do
Yeah.
my baby boy up and do him well,
Yeah. Hey, it's gone. Let's watch a movie with a really sick rape scene.
Oh
So,
God, yeah. She would have probably lost her shit if she saw
yeah.
that scene.
Yeah. No, because you don't, there's no hint that it's coming. There's
Oh
no
no, it just
warning. Just happens.
sees
Like,
that
oh.
camera. You see that camera, and they lock the door. I was like, oh fuck, run, kid, run.
Yep.
Like, how do you not know what's going about to happen to you right now? It's like
I
you're
know.
in the back room.
You
Like,
on candid camera.
ugh.
But either way, I think my final thoughts are it's really good. I started off kind of like, but I really liked it. McLovin did great by the end.
So
Chris
funny.
Evans
I
was
can't hear he's
phenomenal.
over your shoulder right now and Chris Evans. So it's like
I know.
McLovin and Chris Evans, like Captain
Yep.
America and
Here you go, everybody. Your
McLovin.
fan fiction of Captain America and McLovin happening right now. But no, I want to say I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I recommend watching it if you can handle the context at the end. But I hope that it ends up somewhere streaming so more people have access to it.
Yeah, I honestly I feel the same. Like I was actually I thought it would be a little bit different, you know what I mean? Just because I was hoping for a little bit more blood. That's the only thing I was really hoping for, And like it was like you still got some decent scenes, you know what I mean? And the sewing scenes are pretty awesome, like in the sense of effects and kind of a gore in its own sense,
Yeah.
like mutilation type of gore more than an
Disturbing
actual.
stuff.
Yeah, and I'm always a big fan of this kind of stuff and one room stuff, as I always like to say, because like again, I think it leaves your room, and if you're somebody out there about to do a movie, sometimes that helps with you having more money to do other things and editing and whatnot, and have just having really good dialogue and being able to pull off a really good story. I think there's some spots in this they missed opportunities, But for like all purposes, yeah, I would definitely put this a 4. I think you should definitely watch it. I think the last part of this movie is like both scenes are just brutal to beautiful in a sense,
Yeah.
and saddening. Like it's all like a lot of emotions in the last part of this. So it's like you're
Yeah.
like, oh my God. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I'm actually pleasantly surprised, and it was kind of nice, and I'm glad I saw it honestly, because it's stuff like that where. If you don't take a chance on something to when you see something on the side of some of those YouTube stuff or whatever
Yeah.
it is, you might be missing out. So I would say definitely always pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's the first film made by Jem Digger, and I hope that he does more because I want to
Yeah.
see what else he does. And Austin Chun really shined in his acting and other things. So yeah, I want to see him do more stuff too. I guess the girl is fine too.
She's blonde. Abe would have hated
Well,
her.
it depends how short she is, but which
True.
actually she's taller than Austin. Andrew,
Yeah.
sorry. She's taller than Andrew. Because I noticed in one of their scenes where they're making out, I was like, either he's short or she's tall.
Very true.
Like we said, we both recommended you watch it, so you should definitely give it a go. Got the slasher's stamp of approval. the slasher's slash of approval, if you will. But yeah, that's the first episode of our April Drools and Fools, a month of psychotropic trips. With that, thank you guys for listening. Do us a favor and give us a like, share our podcast, tell your friends. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/slasherspod. You can find me on Instagram at Horror and a Half Show. You can find Lance on Instagram at Zombie Versus Hate. You can also, if you have Facebook, follow our page, Mutant Goons from Beyond. And Instagram, we have two pages, Mutant Goons from Beyond and Slashers Pod. If you want some cool merch, check out our Redbubble. It's slasherspod.redbubble.com. We have a new logo, and I'm working on another one. So hopefully we'll be able to have two new awesome designs to show you guys to advertise on your very supple chests.
And don't forget, we will be over at Spooky Empire in May, and we should have some cool little giveaways. Yes. Maybe hopefully some stickers, maybe even some shirts. So hopefully that'll be a thing. And then I think we're still trying to do maybe for at least Orlando. I think Aid Me and even Austin, we were talking about trying to do something for one of our local horror stores that are here.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. And if anybody out there who does a local shop out there and about and want to sponsor some stuff, then we can, you know, sponsor you and give your information up. So places, Mikey's in Texas. We're here in Florida.
Yeehaw.
Doug and Yahira and Jake and all of them are out there in California. And Jason's in Carolina. So
North Carolina.
Is it? Yeah, I didn't know which one it was. I was like,
he'll cover both.
Yeah, he'll get both of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you want to like help us out and do that, and then don't forget Patreon. I think you already said that, or did you not?
No, I said Patreon, yeah. So if you are in the Florida area or Orlando area and you're going to be at Spooky Empire, hit us up. We'll be happy to meet you and maybe give you some cute little goodies.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that said, thank you guys for tuning in today. We hope you have a wonderful week ahead of you. Goodbye, and don't die.
Die!
Oh, Lance. Oh, I'll do AIDS whale call. Good morning.
I'm just gonna kill you.
Nah, she won't. Not unless the Bermuda Triangle gets her first.